Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. This is only the day He has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. For He has given us hope. He has given us the assurance that He will always keep His word. Right, so Easter is here again. He is risen, and death could not hold Him. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 24. And I'll read from verse 1 to verse 8 of Luke 24. And then we'll zero in on verse 5 to verse 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found a stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here. Remember how He had told you while He was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered His words. They forgot what He already told them. And that's why the angel had to remind them by the way of this question: why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. So Easter is a special event in Christianity. If you ask me, I will say it's the most important thing that has ever happened to us as followers of Jesus Christ. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the cornerstone, I believe, of the Christian doctrine and faith. And in fact, it is the foundation of our hope. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't have any hope. Without Jesus rising and defeating death and the enemy, I don't know what would have happened, beginning with the disciples and to us down the history. And also, while we were singing and all the things we've been doing earlier in the morning, I was thinking about the guarantee that the resurrection has given us as believers, that we will also resurrect. Death will not hold us at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I was also thinking about the fact we've, you know, sadly lost some family members or friends over the years. And I just closed my eyes and was just reflecting on the fact that one day they're going to arise. Because I know a good number of them who put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. One day, because Jesus overcame death, that one day we are all going to arise, resurrect with a new body, and then we are going to live with Him forever and ever. No other leader ever died and rose. I don't know if you knew, but I think a few years ago, a religious leader in some part of the world convinced his followers that he was going to rise again. And he asked them to wait when he was dead, on the third day that he was going to arise. But he's still there. This is 2024. He's still there. He's still in there. Out of foolishness, I will say, because he wanted to sort of beat Jesus to it. And there has been several leaders who did not resurrect, but we serve a risen Christ. Amen. We serve a risen Jesus who did not stay there, but as he promised, he overcame death. So he is risen. He is risen indeed. So the phrase "he is risen" is not just a statement that we give out every Easter. It's not just something that we say because we want to say it. It goes beyond that. I believe this statement is a proclamation of victory. It is also a testament of the greatest love that has ever been. It's also a beacon of hope for all humanity, not just for Christians, but for all humanity. The proclamation of victory. He is risen. So Jesus had a victory over death, and he put his stamp and validates everything he had already said. So when he promised that he was going to arise, that is to me a validation of his teachings, his miracles, his way of life, and whatever he brought before then. So if he kept his word, he will always keep his word. He has given us victory. He will always give us victory. Victory over death. Victory over sin. Because when we become Christians, followers of Christ, we are justified. And justification frees us from the guilt and the power of sin. And Jesus, through his resurrection, assures us that we'll always overcome sin and its power. We will not be put in a corner because Jesus' life flows in us. And so in Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15, the apostle had this to say, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away and nailed it to his cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He has given us the victory. He triumphed, and we will triumph if we believe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus overcame, and he shouted, "It is finished." In John chapter 19, verse 30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, say with me, "It is finished." It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. There was a day I was listening to someone, and he said something which I believe so much. He said, Jesus was not killed. Jesus died. He wasn't killed. He died. He willingly gave up his life. He wasn't just, you know, someone with a stray bullet killing him or someone stabbing him like they do these days. He willingly submitted his life. Because other than that, no one could take the life. He willingly did it because it was planned before the foundation of the earth. And he knew what he was doing. That was the plan, to give his life for the sake of us. And so when he said, "It is finished," he was just reminding himself that the reason why, the purpose why I arrived, I have put my stamp on it and I have accomplished it. And that's the Greek word tetelestai, which has come from the Greek verb teleo, and it means to bring to an end or to complete or to accomplish. It's a very crucial word in those days because it signifies the successful end of a particular course of action, or when you have a deed. For example, a few years ago, when I came into this country, I decided to buy a car, and could you imagine, I paid £2,000 for insurance. I rang up all the insurance companies. No one was willing to take me on. I've been driving before them for 15 years, but I couldn't convince them. And so they classed me as someone, as they would do a teenager, someone of high risk. And so no one wanted to. I was frustrated to the point I rang up someone who already arrived from another country. I said, "Is that what you went through?" He said, "Unfortunately, Henry, that's what you have to go through." And so one insurance company decided to take me on only if I was willing to pay $2,000. I had no choice, but I had to pay. But I took up a car, and I'm driving to the meaning of tetelestai. At one point, I paid it in full when I finished paying for the car. And you know, when you finish that, it becomes yours, and you could, you know, do whatever you like with it. And so when Jesus said, tetelestai, it was like when I finished paying for my car, paid in full. I am no owing anymore. I have paid it in full. It's a commercial term, but it's also what people say when they've accomplished something. Like when you climb Mount Everest, so on top of the mount, you say, tetelestai, you've accomplished your life goal because you did it. Yes, I did it. That was what Jesus said. It is finished. Paid in full. But there is another side to what Jesus said, because there is more to it. When Jesus said that word, he said it in a perfect tense in Greek. And what does that mean? It was finished. It is finished. It will be finished. It's not just I've paid it in full. I did it, and it will keep being paid for anyone who jumps on it and what I have done. It is also paid in full for him or her. It is continuous for all eternity. Because remember, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. The stamp of Jesus Christ is upon us. We have been redeemed, praise God, redeemed from the curse of the law, and we are now friends with Jesus Christ. We are no more in enmity with him. Jesus is now in love with us. It is finished. He is risen, a testament of his love. For God so loved the world, as we always, I don't know anyone who doesn't know that by heart. We learned that, while we were growing up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the greatest love, that he had, that he gave, what he cherished so much, that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will not die because he has died in our place, but we will have everlasting life. Death is not the end for a Christian. We will live forever, and we will live in his presence. And so imagine and picture in your mind some of the loved ones that has left this terrain. They are now rejoicing in the presence of Jesus Christ. And they will be there forever because of what Jesus did. And if Christ tarries, and when it's our own turn, we will also be reunited with them in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so he is risen. He's a testament of love and also a beacon of hope for all eternity. He reminds us that darkness could not have his way. Joy comes in the morning. Praise God. Joy comes in the morning. So no matter what sin and what heaviness we carry, grace is greater. Grace is greater. He has given us the hope. And no matter how stingy the grave and the death, life eternal frees us through Jesus Christ. And so this hope is echoed in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so as we go forth today, let's carry the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And I like to add that emphasis, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not figurative. He rose. He actually rose with his body. He could not be left in that place. It was dark on Saturday. Everywhere was quiet. And that's why people call it Silent Saturday, Holy Saturday. We don't know what to do with it. It's been Friday, he was killed. And now the disciples were confused. What do we do? Where do we go from here? We've lost our leader. What are we going to do? We thought he's come to accomplish something in us. And some other people were thinking, oh, we thought he's going to free us from the Roman emperor. We thought he's been someone of special importance. They even cajoled him. You saved others. Save yourself. Silence. Quiet. Confusion. But that glorious morning, when they prepared their spices because of the love they had for him, they didn't know that something was waiting for them. They didn't know that Jesus was about to fulfill all that he has already said. In fact, they forgot because he told them already. So they were going there not to expect a resurrection, but to serve him out of love. But they met something different. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember what he told you? He said it, and he will fulfill it. Christ is alive. I was just treated by the words of those songs from Phil Wickham. Thank you for bringing that. Great light. Down in Galilee. Some say madman. Some say king. Wonder-walking rebel priest. He was really a rebel. Jesus the Nazarene. He knew well what would take place to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay the price. Friday's good cause because Sunday is coming. Don't lose hope because Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done. You better start running. Because Friday is good curse, Sunday is coming. So he let those soldiers take him in. As his friend betrayed him, He betrayed him with a kiss there before the mocking crowd. Like a tomb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. Then he carried that cross to Calvary, and he shed his blood to free us all. As the nails went in and pierced him, the darkness of the world was on his heart. And I believe that's when he cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." That was when the Lord could not look on him because he was carrying the sin of the world. Because Jesus was carrying everything we ever did and everything we even be doing on him. He carried it all for us. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for victory. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for giving us victory. Christ is risen. You are risen forever. Lord, we pray that you will remain alive in our lives. Death and sin has no power again over us. We are redeemed, justified by your blood. Your love, your grace will sustain us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price for us all. Thank you, gracious Master, for you came and fulfilled your promises. Thank you, Ancient of Days, for death could not hold you. We bless your name forever, for you've redeemed us by your blood, the blood that was spotless. You did nothing to deserve death, but you paid it all for us. He paid the debts. He did all owe. I owe the debts I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Lord Jesus paid the debts that I could never pay. Thank you, Lord, for paying the debt on the cross and freeing me from the guilt of sin. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a brand new life, brand new opportunity. Without the debt on the cross, I don't know what I would have become. I would have been maybe among the worst of the earth. But you came and saved me because of the future you have for me. Thank you, Lord, for the future is bright because Jesus is alive. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for we trust and we believe you, that what you've started in our lives, you will accomplish it forevermore. Because you said you will rise, and you actually did. Death could not hold you. The devil could not overcome. He thought he had the day, but he didn't know Sunday was coming. He thought he was silent on Saturday, but he didn't know Sunday was coming. The day that changed the world, the day that gave us hope. We give you praise, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we walk with you. Jesus the Nazarene, that we will walk every day closer, closer to you. Help us, Lord, to be like you. We know we are not able to be like you, but we want to be like you. Help us, Lord, Jesus, to be like you. Help us, Lord, through your word, that we will overcome sin and overcome the devil every day of our lives. We bless your name forever, for you have overcome. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.